Hello, and welcome to Dreamtime, a Guardian podfic that is supposed to put you to sleep. Multiple writers have contributed snippets about a peaceful, rainy night at the apartment with Zhao Yunlan and Shen Wei. To keep the flow dreamy, I'm not pausing for attributions, but you can learn more on the AO3 podfic page. And please, think about adding a snippet of your own. Now, sweet dreams. Shen Wei made full use of the golden hour, navigating through the busy streets of Dragon City to enrich the vendor who made the best minced pork dumplings, judiciously selecting vegetables for the entire weekend from his favorite produce stand, and picking up a fresh-caught sea bass reserved for him by the mother of one of his graduate students. "Hey, Pausha," she scolded. "Make that man of yours buy you dinner sometimes. You work too hard to be cooking every night." A laugh bubbled up. "It is my joy. You wouldn't deprive me of that, I know. You're too adept at taking care of me. But there's rain coming soon. You should close up, go home, and enjoy your own dinner." "Tch!" She waved an arm dismissively at him, but did cast an appraising eye at the northern sky. Shen Wei smiled and adjusted the packages in his arms, breathed in all their earthy fragrances, and headed for home himself. A minute later, he heard tent fabric rolling up behind him and vendors calling an end to the day's business. The world was stunningly beautiful as it eased into rest. The last low rays of molten sunshine burnished the golden-pink stonework lining the avenue and transformed pedestrians' careworn faces into gilded portraits. Shen Wei, too, glowed in anticipation. Tonight, he would be at home with Zhao Yunlan, with no goal except to luxuriate in transcendent happiness. By the time he reached their block, the sun had dipped below the horizon. Wind gusted through the treetops, leaves turning over and around as they waved a frantic warning of an impending storm. Shen Wei increased his pace and reached the building entry just as cold droplets began to patter across the sidewalk. He laughed at his luck and took the stairs two at a time. He juggled for his keys only to find Zhao Yunlan, or Da Qin, had left the door unlocked. He sidled in, left his bags on Zhao Yunlan's weight bench, hung up his coat, and toed out of his shoes. Ah, home. Bliss. Oh, he remembered the clothes drying on the balcony and hurried to rescue them. When he'd folded them all neatly and stashed them in the appropriate drawers, he checked the windows, turned on two lamps, and moved his groceries to the kitchen counter. Now, where to start? Where to start? The brown sugar syrup for dessert. He'd make that one first, so it would have time to cool. Then chop the green peppers and cabbage for the egg stir-fry, and then the spring onions and tomatoes for the noodles. The quick glaze, too. He could whip that up while the veggies were cooking. Getting out the small bowls and knives and cutting board was automatic by now, practiced enough that he could do it in his sleep. The actual prep required more focus, and he relished the time he got to spend on it, methodically cutting up the fresh produce and stirring condiments into the glaze. He kept an eye on the syrup as he whisked the eggs, making a mental note to buy another dozen on Monday. He heard the door and smiled to himself. The weekend had officially begun. Zhao Yunlan brought a whoosh of cold air with him, the scent of rain having settled into his clothes and hair and skin. Shenwei breathed it in as he kissed his cheek, before it dissolved in the warmth of their kitchen. "Hello," he said softly. "Hello yourself," Zhao Yunlan said with a grin. His hair was dewed with rain droplets and his shoulders speckled. Shenwei thought to protest that he should get changed first, but Yunlan distracted him by kissing Shenwei on the lips. "What's for dinner?" It was a rhetorical question, so Shenwei didn't bother answering, just let Zhao Yunlan survey the counter and peek into the pot. The kitchen was warm, and the fragrant steam framing Zhao Yunlan's face as he snooped into each pot made short work of any lingering cold. "Ooh, tofu for dessert." "And oranges. I put some peel into the sugar broth with the ginger." "Mmm," Zhao Yunlan said, wrapping his arms around Shenwei to press another kiss against the back of his neck. "Yunlan." Shenwei bent his head, displaying more of his neck. "I can't work like that. Things will burn." "Mmm," came again, with a silkier undertone. "I'm not that hungry anyway." Shenwei turned his head to look at him, alarmed. "It is a joke," Yunlan said with a soft chuckle. "I'm starving." He stepped away to give Shenwei room to move, although he didn't go very far. "Need any help?" Shenwei smiled. "You can take the pot and put it over there for cooling, and then put the pan on the fire." He nodded at the collection of bottles on the counter. "Put some oil in, too." They worked in companionable silence in the quiet of the kitchen. The soft rushing of the rain outside, clattering against the kitchen window, mingled with the homely sounds of chopping and stirring and frying. The brush of slippers on the floor. The mental to-do list in Shenwei's head grew smaller with every step he could check off. He enjoyed this part more than the eating, truth to be told. Although he enjoyed that, too. "Will Daqing join us?" he asked, watching Zhao Yunlan poke at the noodles that were softening in their sauce. Shenwei always made ample food for all of them, but this served to distract Zhao Yunlan from burning his mouth trying to eat the noodles before they were ready. "I don't think he's coming home tonight," Zhao Yunlan said, lowering his guilty chopsticks, knowing he was caught. "Perfect weather for hunting." Shenwei frowned at him, which made Yunlan snort. "Sad wet cat caught in the rain. Oh, it's got a collar. Maybe it ran away from home. You poor thing. Let's see if we can find something to eat for you." He shook his head. "Gonna have a bellyache tomorrow, the little rascal." "From all the hunting," Shenwei said, stirring the eggs into the sizzling oil, the yellow deepening. "Apex predator," Zhao Yunlan agreed dryly, passing him the small bowl of spring onions. The recipe didn't have them in this dish, but Zhao Yunlan knew Shenwei loved them, and made it a point to subtly encourage Shenwei to tailor his dishes for his own tastes, as well as other people's preferences. Shen Wei accepted the dish and sprinkled a few bright green rings over the golden eggs. Only a few things were left to do, including heating up the pork dumplings, and then they could eat. The fish was waiting in the fridge, along with a few more delicacies Shen Wei had gathered up over the week. He wanted to prepare a big spread tomorrow. With the bustle of the kitchen quieting down, the white noise of the rain on the windowsill could be heard once more. There was a faint grumble outside, as of thunder gathering. Shen Wei peered out, watching the puddles dance and the streetlights come awake. Zhao Yunlan dropped a quick kiss on his cheek before he started to set the table. Fetching bowls of rice from the rice cooker, Shen Wei placed them down and surveyed the table. He picked up the tea set before sitting down. "Were you caught in the rain?" he asked, dropping greens in Zhao Yunlan's bowl. Zhao Yunlan shrugged, already devouring his bowl. "Not much. I was inside most of the time, coordinating the cording of the scene with the commander. Xiao Guo was gathering evidence in the backyard, and he wasn't so lucky." "Will he be all right, heading home soaking wet? He drives to work." "Not today. He lent his car to a neighbor and took public transport." "But do not worry. Lao Chu was already scolding him and using his scarf to dry Xiao Guo's hair when I told them to go home. Lao Chu lives nearby. I suspect it is where our Xiao Guo will spend the night." Shen Wei ducked his head, pleased with how well Zhao Yunlan's team members made their differences work together. "Any news about them moving in together?" Zhao Yunlan huffed around a mouthful, conveying his thoughts on this even as he chewed. He swallowed and took a sip of the soft wine he had chosen to go with the meal. "No, Lao Chu had the temerity to glare at his own chief and walked off in a cloud when I pointed out he should make an honest man out of Xiao Guo." Shen Wei drank his tea, timing his reply for Zhao Yunlan's next sip. "You might have more success trying this tactic on Xiao Guo." Zhao Yunlan narrowly avoided choking on his wine by swallowing it quickly. He grinned fondly at Shen Wei, clearly imagining the scene. "You are devious." The rain squalled against the kitchen window, loud enough that Zhao Yunlan glanced up and appreciated once again the coziness of being indoors, on the couch, in this warm pool of light. He had one foot up, his notebook propped against his knee, and was festooning the page with little cartoonish sketches, while Shen Wei sat next to him, reading a stack of science papers. Zhao Yunlan tapped his pen lightly against his leg, and then turned the page and started a new drawing. Professor Shen, minus the glasses, sitting squarely, both feet planted on the floor, utterly absorbed in his work. Of course, the problem with drawing Shen Wei from life, apart from his own lack of talent, was tearing his gaze from the real thing to look down at the page. So, that didn't last long. He folded his pen into the notebook and tossed them onto the coffee table, then slid sideways and down, pulling the rug from the back of the couch over him and burrowing his feet under Shen Wei's thigh, watching Shen Wei plow through the densely written paper. "Read to me?" Shen Wei sent him a fond look and obligingly read out. "The alteration of natural light conditions can disrupt the normal functioning of these regulatory pathways and secondary energy production mechanisms. Research into the effects of artificial light on black energy receptor manipulator mechanisms and the development of mitigation strategies are areas of active investigation. Some receptor manipulator structures, such as neural UV metabolites and heat-stimulated synthesizers, stand out as models for photobiology research." "Wait," said Zhao Yunlan. Most of that was impenetrable, but he hazarded a guess anyway. "So being underground changes how people can use their powers?" "Possibly, in some cases. The research is ongoing." Shen Wei put the paper aside and laid his hand on Zhao Yunlan's ankle through the blanket.
"And in your experience?"
Zhao Yunlan wiggled his toes under Shen Wei's thigh. Hey Pausha had a lot more to go on than some Haixing scientists who'd only heard of black energy. "Some people with spontaneously manifesting powers find it easier to manage in one place or the other, depending on the person. My observation suggests time of year may be another factor, possibly because the wavelength of black energy naturally lengthens under the influence of certain levels of solar radiation." Shen Wei's expression had softened, but he firmly pushed Zhao Yunlan's foot to the floor.
"What?"
Zhao Yunlan started to protest, but before he could get more than a word out, Shen Wei shifted and brought his own legs up on the couch. He reached for Zhao Yunlan, pulling him around and against him, so they were spooned on their sides, and then arranged the blanket over both of them. Zhao Yunlan snuggled back.
"Oh, that's good. Tell me more about black energy."
And Shen Wei continued theorizing softly, right in his ear. Zhao Yunlan set a cup of tea on the coffee table for Shen Wei. He was pretty sure he'd got it right this time. He'd even remembered to warm the teapot in advance, and settled back down on the couch, enjoying the fuzziness of clean socks on cold feet, the intense sugar burst of a fresh blackcurrant lollipop on his tongue, and
Most importantly, the utter satisfaction of having Shen Wei, relaxed and off the clock, at his side, while, beyond the walls and windows of the apartment, the rain teemed down. Shen Wei had sat up and was straightening his sweater vest. "Thank you for the tea. Are you ready for some natural history?" Leaving the pen on the coffee table, Zhao Yunlan picked up his notebook and showed Shen Wei his earlier sketches. A moth, some snowdrops, a panda bear, and various aquatic and semi-aquatic beasts. "There, what about frogs?" Shen Wei glanced at the cartoon frog and breathed a laugh. And then, with no apparent effort, he opened his palm and formed a soft-looking ball of black energy. A second later, a rocky pool formed in the air before them, screening out the coffee table. It was about a meter across, made of light and smoke, and it glowed softly, the colors washed out by its holographic nature. Otherwise, it looked real enough to touch. Tangled weeds grew around the pool's edges, wreathed in steam, and ripples on its surface reflected on the walls and on Shen Wei's face. "Wow," said Zhao Yunlan, softly, making himself appreciate the spectacle and not the ever-captivating sight of his boyfriend being impressive and powerful. "Dixing has at least 18 known species of frog and toad," said Shen Wei. "But only one of them uses black energy, the crater toad." To illustrate, a calloused shape with spindly legs clambered out of the pool and blinked big black eyes at Zhao Yunlan.
It's cute."
Zhao Yunlan took out his lollipop to use as a pointer. "What does it use black energy for?" "Temperature manipulation. As its name implies, the crater toad lives in and around volcanoes. Not the most hospitable environment. It uses black energy to cool the water so it can survive."
"Makes sense."
As Zhao Yunlan leaned forward to examine it, the toad expanded to the size of his head.
"What else?"
"They're occasionally found in the lower city. If you see one, don't touch it."
"Let me guess."
Zhao Yunlan sat back and elbowed his tutor. "A power that can sustain life in a volcano only causes problems in other contexts." "People have lost fingers to instant frostbite, especially children." Shen Wei took Zhao Yunlan's hand and kissed his palm. "I would prefer to keep you intact."
"Oh, you have other plans for me?"
Zhao Yunlan smirked, reached through the Dixing scene to place his unfinished lollipop onto the saucer of Shen Wei's teacup, then straddled Shen Wei's lap, turning his back on the Dixing toad with its steamy habitat and dangerous defenses. Burying his face in Shen Wei's neck and breathing him in. Zhao Yanlan stepped out of the shower and savored the steamy warmth of the small bathroom and the soft rug underfoot. Non-slip, of course, thanks to Shan Wei. He didn't bother wiping the mirror clean, just grabbed a fluffy towel to scrub his hair. Then he tossed the towel onto its rack and shrugged into the thick white robe hanging on the back of the door. He slid into his slippers and hurried to rejoin Shan Wei, who wasn't lolling in bed, as he certainly should have been. Shan Wei, he called. Out here, came the soft reply. Why in the world was Shan Wei sitting on the cold, dark balcony? Zhao Yanlan padded out, extending a hand palm up to assess the weather. The rain had eased to a drizzle, but cold drops were spattering loudly from the apartment above, and water gurgled noisily through the nearby gutter. Shan Wei sat on a small cushion he occasionally used for meditation. He was smiling, head tilted back, his body gleaming slightly in the refracted light from the street below. He could have been marble, one of the half-nude Renaissance statues that graced his university's grounds. Shao Wei, we have a nice hot shower. Why are you sitting out here in the rain? I wanted to see the stars. I always want to after. The night sky had been omnipresent the first few times they'd lain together. Shan Wei reached up to take Zhao Yanlan's wrist. He pulled him down to sit astride his legs. Look, there's a gap in the clouds there, in the southwest. Why would Zhao Yanlan look at stars when he could gaze at this silvery, beautiful Shan Wei? He chuckled softly and touched his forehead to Shan Wei's. I always want a cigarette after. Shan Wei made an exaggerated expression of disgust. I know, I know. Hence lollipops. Much better for kissing, he demonstrated, and then reinforced his point repeatedly until Shan Wei stopped clutching his neck and instead slid his hands inside Yunlan's robes. Bed, Zhao Yanlan suggested. Wouldn't want to scandalize the neighbors. Yes, I just... Shan Wei perused the sky again. I wanted to show you, because they weren't visible when we first met. Down, boy, Zhao Yanlan admonished himself. This must be important to Shan Wei. What wasn't visible, Baobei? There. Shan Wei kept one arm circled around Zhao Yanlan's waist, but stretched the other to direct his attention to the constellations. Those two bright stars where the clouds break. Do you see them? They were hard to miss. Oh, yeah, I remember my mother pointing them out to me. I forget what she called them. It was my father who explained them to Didi and me. Shan Wei seemed pleased by their parallel memories. He called them the Celestial Twins. Di Xingren tradition said our ancestors once lived in that star system. Supposedly, that's why twin births are far more common in Di Xing than Hai Xing. Not likely, of course, but folklore can be illuminating. Shan Wei had never spoken about his parents before. You remember your father? What was he like, Shao Wei? Shan Wei shook his head. I only have fragments. That is the clearest memory. He loved us. We loved him. He was our hero.
Zhao Yunlan hesitated. Was Shunwei missing his brother and his parents?
It was a delicate question.
Oh, before he ventured into that treacherous topic, he recalled his mother's words.
I remember. Mom called them the ever-circling lovers. I don't know why.
Shunwei bit his lip. He nodded slowly.
Ah, I like that. They do circle each other over eons.
Zhao Yunlan shifted a little closer and pulled Shunwei's other arm back around him.
Close circles, though, am I right?
Shunwei dipped his head and kissed the juncture of Yunlan's neck and shoulder.
Yes, Yunlan. Very close.
Caught in each other's inescapable gravity.
Yes, that. Exactly that.
Zhao Yunlan chuffed, scrambled to his feet, and pulled Shunwei up after him. Bed, he said, and this time Shunwei hummed agreement. A rainy day turned into a blustery night. Zhao Yunlan closed the windows regretfully. He liked listening to the rain on the streets below. He was less fond of the wind tangling the window blinds and blowing loose paperwork all over the apartment. He settled down on the sofa with a beer beside him and a laptop open on his knees, intending to read through backlogged reports while he waited for Shunwei to get home. He was teaching an adult education class for expatriate Dixing Run 2 nights a week this semester. Zhao Yunlan missed him every evening he was gone, but he consoled himself with the great pleasure Shunwei so obviously took in the opportunity to teach his countrymen. Meanwhile, however, these SID expenditure requests weren't going to edit themselves. Zhao Yunlan clicked open the first spreadsheet, took a healthy swig of beer, and immediately yawned. So hugely, his jaw cracked. He dropped his head onto the back of the sofa and closed his eyes. Just for a moment or two, he thought. Then he would absolutely get straight to work. He shut the laptop and fumbled around for the blanket on the back of the sofa to drape over himself. He was almost asleep when he heard a muffled sound at the window and groped his way back to wakefulness. He had the confused idea that Da Qin must be out on the balcony.
That damn cat would never let him live it down if Zhao Yunlan had locked him out on such a cold and windy night. Zhao Yunlan crawled across the window seat and had actually unlocked the window before he realized that the sound that had awoken him was nothing at all like an angry cat rattling panes of glass. He hesitated, but then threw open the windows. The night wind was cool on his face and carried the sound of wind chimes and temple bells. Where in the world was that coming from? He stuck his head out, wondering if some neighbor had hung an entire collection of wind chimes recently, and found himself face to face with two friends he had not seen in far too long. Wang Zheng, Song Zhen, where have you lovebirds been keeping yourselves? The library is a disaster, and I have to sit up to all hours approving expense reports myself. They smiled, exchanged meaningful glances, and did not even try to defend themselves. Absolutely shameless. Zhao Yunlan was about to tell them so, when a sudden memory of sacrifice and loss stirred from the depths of his mind. Wait, he whispered. How can you be here? Isn't... Wang Zheng threw back her head as if she were laughing, though all Zhao Yunlan could hear was a clamor like tiny brass bells in a windstorm. Song Zhen took pity on him and said plainly, Did you think we were gone? Chief Zhao Yuzun could never hurt us. Not really. But where have you been? Zhao Yunlan pleaded. Now Wang Zheng was the one who answered clearly. Beside her, smiling in encouragement, Song Zhen vibrated gently with a low hum like a struck singing bowl. Those soap bubble energy forms no longer contain us, she explained. Sunshine or rain, moonlight or streetlights, Dragon City or the northern mountains that were our home. The wind carries us together wherever we want to go. I'm happy for you, Zhao Yunlan whispered. But I miss you. We all do. And I miss barbecued fish on skewers, Song Zhen found his voice again. And soup dumplings. And I miss popcorn and teasing Lin Jing about being late. Wang Zheng's voice faded into tinkling chimes before emerging decisively. But I do not miss answering the phone, and I do not miss anyone at the SID. Not even me? Not even a little bit? Zhao Yunlan asked plaintively. Oh, the chimes were almost strident this time. Once again, gentle Song Zhen took pity on him. Chief Zhao, we do not miss you because wherever the winds may blow, the best part of us always watches over you and everyone at the SID. Did you truly not know? I didn't, Zhao Yunlan confessed, shamefaced. Wang Zheng shook her head at his foolishness. Well, now you do, she told him. But just in case you need a reminder, you will know we are near whenever you hear the temple bells. The wind rose and chimes rang, and Shen Wei's hand was on Zhao Yunlan's shoulder. Hush, my love, he said. It's only me. Did you see them? Zhao Yunlan asked. He dropped his head sideways, enough to touch Shen Wei's hand with his cheek. Hear them? They came for a visit. Sang Zan, Wang Zheng. Shen Wei's hand was warm. I can see the echoes in the air, he said softly. As indistinct as it is now, they still have a shape that lingers. They're back to being ghosts, you mean, Zhao Yunlan said. Hush, he added when Shen Wei opened his mouth. I know. They're energy matrices dancing on the wavelength of black energy, under the changing levels of solar radiation. He swirled a hand around for effect. You were listening to me then, earlier. Shen Wei's lips pursed in a tiny, prissy little moo that made Zhao Yunlan's heart grow impossibly fonder. Not that you are particularly correct in your conclusions. You think I could ever ignore you? Zhao Yunlan mimed his utter shock and devastation, one hand over his ribcage to indicate a mortal wound. Shen Wei made a tutting sound under his breath, but he kept his hand on Zhao Yunlan's shoulder, as if he couldn't bear to be without that connection. So all those times when I told you not to touch immensely dangerous artifacts. Well, I was always listening, Zhao Yunlan said, making his eyes go wide and innocent. It wasn't that he thought Shen Wei would buy it, but this game was always worth playing. That doesn't mean I had to agree with you. Shen Wei had that look to him, the one Zhao Yunlan appreciated no less for how often he got to see it. The one that said, I don't know what I have done to deserve you. It wasn't precisely a compliment. Outside, the wind picked up and Zhao Yunlan turned to the windows. Hadn't he opened them before? But they were closed now, a firm bulwark against the wind. No bells were ringing, not now, but there was a waiting quality to the air. Soft rain pattered against the windows. I wonder why they came for a visit now, Zhao Yunlan said softly. Somehow it felt important not to be too loud. Why they didn't come earlier. This time of year is... Shen Wei hesitated. It is easier for transient beings. The threshold is lower, easier to cross. Zhao Yunlan wasn't sure he liked the sound of that. Are you expecting more visitors? There were so many other ghosts in both their lives. If they were all going to come and visit, the apartment would be pretty crowded. But, at the same time, it could be worth it. What if his mom were to stop by and see for herself the caliber of man he had somehow managed to snag? Shen Wei's hand gripped his shoulder, a little tighter now. I can only say that I would bid them welcome. He paused. I did have plans to cook a lot this weekend.